God is good. And all the time. Good morning. It is great to see you guys. Thank you so much for being here to worship. My name is Eric Dirks, and it is a joy to see you today. If you would turn in your bulletins with me for just a moment. The bright pink insert. We're doing Lifeline screening again, and they're wanting the host church to have first dibs on those appointments. So please make sure if you would like to sign up for a Lifeline screening. They have saved many lives and several here in this community by people having this stroke prevention screening. It's November 8th, Monday. It'll be right here in the fellowship hall. Please call the number on this insert to set up an appointment if you would like. Also, don't forget the Cliff Notes, the study guide. Make sure you take that home. And as Sharon will say here in just a little bit, to take home your bulletin as well with the joys and concerns on it. And so you can have a devotion during the week and also have some prayers there that are listed. Also, this light pink insert, this is in regards to our 160th homecoming. If you would like to sign up for one or more evenings to do that, put your name and your telephone number there so we can give you a call. Put that in the offering basket. That would be great. Also, Camino, who sang for you last week, and Cliff talked to you a little bit about what Camino is. If you're interested in that, make sure you look at this. And again, that is the offering basket. So make sure you do that as well. One other thing about the 160th homecoming, we have commemorative ornaments. Commemorative ornaments, they look excellent. They're right back here on this back table. If hopefully everyone will purchase one for gifts or just for yourself. One is $15, two are $25. All right, they really are beautiful. They are pewter in color. So make sure you take a look at those and know that they are high quality. Don't forget, we have Lunch Bunch right after worship today. I don't know, whenever I came in before the 8 o'clock service, I could smell it smoking already back there. So I'm sure it really smells good now as you walked in. It's going to be really good food. Also, our newcomers class is today from 1 to 4. Even if you're a long-term member and just want to see what happens during newcomers class, maybe you need to teach the preacher something about the church, you're more than welcome to come and share with us and everything. It's from 1 to 4 today, right after newcomers class. So that is we try to have a lot of fun in that and get to know one another in that regard. Now I'd like to invite Cheryl close up. She has something to tell us in regards to some of our ministries here at First Church. I don't know if you remember right. A few weeks ago, we talked about the Caring Ministries, what takes place underneath Caring Ministries. And today we're going to focus on some things that happen in the worship team. And Cheryl is our lead usher. So, Cheryl, thank you.
You here with us today, and as part of the worship committee and as usher, we are looking always for ushers. We like to have you be a member of our team. If you are interested, we'd like for you to contact me or anybody on the worship committee, or fill out your connection card. Let us know. The ushers not only pass out bulletins and take up offerings, but we are also here to help you and serve you in any way during the service. I think that's about it. If you would like to call me, just let me know. Thanks. Appreciate it.
You know, it is such a joy to have the great ushers and greeters that we have. it is so important, not only for all of you who are regular attenders, but also for those folks that come for the first time. Greeters and ushers are the first faces that they see, and it is a very important ministry to welcome them and help everyone feel welcome and wanted. So thank you, Cheryl, so much in that regard. One last thing before we begin our service today. The third page of your bulletin is called the Connection Card. And there is a perforation there that I invite you to, you may have to fold it a couple times back and forth, but if you would fill that out, put your name, address, telephone number on there, put it in the offering basket, we'd greatly appreciate that. If you're visiting with us today, first of all, we just want to welcome you and say thank you so much for being with us. But if you would fill that out as well, that way we can greet you properly, saying thank you for being present with us today, and that can be your offering to this church today is by putting that in the offering basket. Are you ready for a wonderful worship service today?
Yes.
Awesome. As we focus our hearts and our minds and our souls, we will listen to Marian give us our prelude and our acolytes light our candles. So let us focus ourselves.
Okay, let's stand and get our hearts thumping and our blood pumping as Praise Team leads us in our songs of praise. He knows my name and a new hallelujah.
My life was in
God, we come before you today. We give you so much thanks. We give you so much honor, God. And we ask for your powerful anointing to be upon us today. Fill us full, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. Help us as we come together to worship you, God, to focus our hearts and our minds and our spirits upon you. Help us, Lord, to come together as one voice in worship to you. Help us, Lord, to know that we are your child, that you love us so deeply that you sent your only Son to die on a cross for us. And so today, as we come together, Lord, we know that you are here already. But we ask, Lord, in a deliberate way, that you anoint us fully with your Holy Spirit. Bring your healing. Holy God, we just ask that you give us the courage that we need. We ask, God, that you give us whatever we need. Fill us full, God. May all evil and negative thoughts run scared from this place simply because of your powerful presence. Many of us, may we, Lord, for the first time feel your presence in our lives, and may we react to that. We give you praise, God. We give you praise this day. And we ask that you make us one with each other and one with you and Jesus. Holy, holy, holy name. Amen. All right, now you know the song. Let's get our blood pumping this morning as we worship God. A new hallelujah is an awesome song. We want you to sing with us as we worship God today.
Sing it out, sing a new hallelujah.
right, it's time now for Kids Corner. And kids, if you'll come on down, Maureen Lane is going to lead you in a time together. And I'm sure it will be not only enjoyable, but educational.
Sing with me.
Glad to see all these kids. I'm going to tell you a little family story, a little family history of ours, but I'm letting out of the bag this morning. This story takes place a long time ago, probably 33, 34 years ago, when I was still able to water ski. We used to water ski right out here in the river, and one Saturday, my husband took my sister-in-law, his sister, and me out to water ski, and he was going to have the boat pull both of us. We did that a lot. Well, we were just, my sister-in-law and I were just in a silly mood that day. And he'd get us up on both skis. We'd both get up, and we'd ski just a little way, and one of us would fall. Well, when you water ski and one person falls, the other person has to drop. Then the boat has to go around, get the ropes back to you, and you have to start all over again. Well, did it again, got the ropes, got started again. This time, my sister-in-law fell. So he had to stop, go around, take the ropes around to us again. This happened about 5 times. Every time we would get up, one of us would get up on the skis, one of us would fall. And we were just laughing and having the best time. Well, he was not having such a good time because he was the one having to take the ropes around to us and do all the maneuvering with all the other boats on the river. And about the 5th time this happened, he stopped and he got close to us and he yelled, "Girls, we're out here to fun, or we're out here to ski, not to," and he stopped. And we all looked at him, and I yelled, "Not to have fun?" And so that started to be a saying in our family, "We're out here to ski, not to have fun." Well, it didn't just apply to skiing, though. It applied to everything. When we got ready to bake cookies, you know, it was a serious thing. "We're in here to make cookies, not to have fun." Well, that's just silly. Making cookies is fun. "We're out here to hunt Easter eggs, not to have fun." Well, that's silly, too. Easter egg hunting is fun. So it would be like your teacher telling you at school, taking you out to the playground at recess and saying, "Okay, we're out here to have recess, not to have fun." That's just plain silly, isn't it? Well, so this has gotten to be a saying in our family. And I got to looking around church last Sunday when Kamina was up there singing. And some of us were having a good time singing. Diane Gokenauer was standing next to me, and while we were singing, she was doing the sign language to the words. And on the other side of me, Joan Soppy was standing there, and she didn't know sign language, but she was just so moved by the music that she was just moving her hands and doing all kinds of actions with it. And I got to looking, and I thought, you know what? I think some people in church think that we're here to worship, not to have fun. Well, can you do both? Yes, you can. I got to looking in my Bible, in the back of my Bible, and I think Linda Nelson talked about this last week, or one of the people that did a children's sermon. There's a listing of all the different words in the Bible, and I looked up joy, because joy and fun kind of go hand in hand to me. There are a whole bunch of verses in the Bible that talk about joy, and if I'm joyful, I'm going to be having fun. So if I'm worshiping, I'm going to be having fun, and I could tell even this morning, during just those songs, and even just the song that brought you all down here, we were having fun. God likes us to be joyful. God likes us to have fun. I'm just going to read a few short little, not even the whole verse, just some verses from the Bible. And these all came from Psalms. There's a lot about joy and happiness and fun in the book of Psalms. "We will shout for joy. Let them ever sing for joy. Shout to the Lord with cries of joy. The joy of the whole earth. My lips will shout for joy. Shout for joy before the Lord. And we are filled with joy. That joy is mine and it is now." So I want you to remember, even though we're here to worship God, God wants us to be joyful. God wants us to have fun. God wants us to show our joy and our fun to each other and to Him. That's how we praise Him. And remember, we don't have to have a t-shirt that says we're here to worship, not to have fun. Okay? We can do that. Let's all pray together, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for each person here. I ask that you be with them throughout this week and help them to show their joy to others. Help them to have fun and help us to have fun worshiping you, Lord. And may we take everything we learn here out into the world. All of these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And we have our cups here. And since I talked about fun and joy, I have a little package of smiles for you. So everybody can get a package of smiles. And don't forget to throw your trash away, though, because we don't want to have somebody else clean up our mess. And don't forget your cup.
I think we can all say amen to her sentiment. And, you know, our children learn by our examples. So if you're having a good time, show these kids. As they collect change for missions, they collected over $4,600 last year, and we want to keep that ministry going. Let us sing page 547 in your blue hymnal, O Church of God United, as the children circulate around. The children finish bringing their change up for Jeremiah. I'd like to lift up a few concerns. We want to lift up the Gatliff McMurtry families and their grief over the loss of Janice, and of course remember Bill Hughes as well. We have several names listed on the back of the bulletin. As Eric mentioned earlier, we'd like you to take your bulletin home with you, put it by that special place where you spend time with God, and lift these up daily in prayer. Prayer is such a powerful tool that we each have, that we can take our concerns and our joys to God, and He hears everyone. In the prayer box, we're asked to pray for Linda Baker and to also pray for Boston Juan Wilson, son of Kenzie and J.D. Wilson, and Kenyon and Mitzi's grandson. He is in Bothwell with pneumonia. And he's already had some health issues, and we've prayed for him. This just proof that prayer just is never ceasing. And so please lift those up in prayer. I'm sure there are many that you have unspoken in your heart. And we just...
Sure.
Sorry.
Just a couple things. I apologize.
I didn't hear what Marcia said, though.
Mary Chance passed away, a longtime member of the church. Her service is this afternoon at the funeral home. And tomorrow, of course, as you already mentioned, will be Janice's service here at the church at 10:30. I do want to lift up, though, a concern I have. As many of you may know, a 14-year-old girl lost her life this week in the school system. And we don't know the details of it yet, but it has opened up some issues with other kids in our school system, and we can track that through Facebook and things like that. And so, please, I am begging you to pray for our youth. Obviously, pray for this youth's family that has passed away, but the kids at the school. It goes without saying in many ways, I hope you always pray for them, but if you don't, if you haven't before, please begin at this point. Many youth are in need of great prayers in that school and in this community, even if they're not involved with the school. So thank you. Thank you, Sharon.
All right, if you would bow your heads with me, we'll have a word of prayer. Awesome and loving God, we are so blessed that we can come together this morning and worship you. We know that we can lay our cares at your feet. And we know that we can send you our joys as well. And God, we just rejoice in the fact that you hear both our needs and our praises. We especially pray for those who are sick and in need of your healing touch, for those who have lost a loved one and need your peace and comfort, for our youth as they struggle to make their stand, make their place in this world. It's such a tumultuous time for them, and sometimes for us, and we just don't always know which way to turn, what to do. But God, you know, and if we will take the time to ask you for your guidance, we cannot go wrong. We pray for our teachers, for our school administrators, for our country, and for our servicemen. Lord, there is so much going on, and we just lift it to you, knowing that you hear every single prayer, spoken or unspoken. And for that, we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Sharon. Our scripture for today is taken from the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. I invite you to turn, hopefully, in your Bibles. But for sure in the pew Bibles, if you didn't bring your own. Luke chapter 6. Now for those that don't know, where is Luke? In the Old or the New Testament? Luke is a gospel. It is in the New Testament. And the gospels begin with the book of Matthew and then Mark and then Luke. So it's right at the beginning of the New Testament. Luke chapter 6. Once you find that, would you please stand with me? Close that Bible on your finger and let's raise the Bible high above your head and say our Bible pledge this morning. Is I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Please remain standing with me as we read Luke chapter 6, verses 27 and 28. Jesus said, "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Mickey, I thought of you today whenever, in first service, whenever I was saying this illustration, and I know there are others as well that have been teachers of elementary students. A teacher was helping one of her kindergarten students put on his boots. The boy asked for help, and she could see why. With her pulling and his pushing, the boots barely went on. When the second boot was finally on, the boy said, "Teacher, they're on the wrong feet." The teacher looked, and sure enough, they were on the wrong feet. It wasn't any easier pulling them off, yet she managed to keep her cool, and together they worked to get the boots back off and then put them back on the right feet, or the correct feet, I should say. The boy then looked at the teacher and announced, "Well, these aren't my boots." The teacher bit her tongue rather than scream. Why didn't you say so, right? You've not been there, have you? No. Instead, she struggled to help the little boy pull the ill-fitting boots back off. And then the boy said, "They're my brother's boots. My mom made me wear them." The teacher didn't know whether to laugh or to cry. So she mustered up all the grace she had left and simply asked, "Now, where are your mittens, son?" To which the little boy replied, "Well, I stuffed them in the toes of my boots." I thought that was an excellent illustration of doing good and doing no harm. The story is told that Thomas Edison, at age 23, arrived in New York from Boston. His head was full of ideas for great inventions, but his pockets were empty. He had worked earlier as a telegraph operator, so he headed for a Western Union office. Did they need an inventor? Well, no, but they had considerable equipment that needed repair. He restored the equipment as an unsalaried troubleshooter. General Marshall Lefferts, head of the company, was very pleased with his work and the vast improvement the company operations had had since he had been fixing the machinery. One day, Lefferts decided to settle up, as he had promised. "How much do you think your improvements are worth?" he asked Edison. Edison said he thought to himself, "He will probably offer me $1,000. I really need $2,000 to get out of debt. But I really want to ask for $5,000. Being inexperienced in finances, Edison that is, and knowing that Lefferts was known to be an honest man, Edison said, "General, what do you think?" Lefferts responded, "How would $40,000 strike you?" Gasping for breath, Edison agreed. Edison learned an important lesson that day. Lefferts' goodness was greater than his own greed. Lefferts' goodness was greater than Edison's own greed. Sometimes our relationship with God is similar, isn't it? We demand special favors from God, right? "Dear God, if you do this, I will attend church every week, I promise, for the rest of my life," right? "Dear God, if you let this happen, I'll pray to you every day, unceasingly, Lord, I promise." Right? We don't do that, do we? No? I'm glad you're better than that. Sometimes our relationship with God is similar, though. We demand special favors from God, unable to wait patiently for God to act. We grab in greed. However, God's abundance is far greater and far beyond anything we can imagine. Amen? God is good in giving, and if we will just receive what God has offered, typically it's much more than we could ever imagine. Well, John Wesley, the founder of our Methodist movement, wanted those who converted to the Christian faith, as well as those who are long-term believers, to continue to grow in their faith in their daily living. He developed what we call the general rules and what have become known as Wesley's three simple rules. They were meant to guide these Christians in their daily living so their faith wouldn't become stale or stagnant as water does when it sits still. Do you remember what these three simple rules are? We began talking about them last week. Anybody remember what the first one is? Do no harm. Anybody remember know what the second one is? Yeah, that's easy enough, right? Everybody should have got that. Right? Anybody remember the third one? Stay in love with God. That is right. There they are. Let's say them together. Do no harm. Do good. Stay in love with God. Stay in love with God. Well, last week we considered the first of these, do no harm. And this week we're going to look at doing good. Wesley stated we are to do good because God is good. Doing good reflects the image of God stamped fresh on the heart. For God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. We are to do good because God is good and because Jesus commanded us, as our scripture today said, right? Jesus said today, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. For Wesley, doing good was a universal mandate. Everyone is to do good to everyone. One of Wesley's most favorite and famous statements reflects this, and you all probably know this. You all know Wesley inside and out, right? Frontwards and backwards. Isn't that right? I bet you've heard this. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all times you can, to all people you can, as long as ever you can. I think Wesley believed in doing good. Amen? Let's say this together as well. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Think you can quote that once you leave worship today? Huh? In Romans 12, 9 through 13, the Apostle Paul puts it like this. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Wesley also gave specific examples that are recorded in our Book of Discipline, that awesome book that I told that all of you need to read, at least right before you go to bed. You'll fall asleep. Wesley put it like this, and this comes from the Book of Discipline. Do good to all men, to their bodies by giving food to the hungry. By the way, does that mean we can leave women out? No. Remember, this is written in the 1700s, all right? So, do good to all men, to their bodies by giving food to the hungry, by clothing the naked, by visiting or helping them that are sick or in prison, to their souls by instructing, reproving, or exhorting all with whom you have contact. By doing good, especially to them that are of the household of faith, employing them preferably to others, helping each other in business, and so much the more, because the world will love its own and them only. Because the world will love its own and them only. not only was doing good to Wesley a universal direction, but it was to be a regular practice as well. Wesley insisted that Methodists engage weekly in direct work with the poor. What does that mean? Okay. What does that mean to help directly with the poor? Does that mean that, like, you can write a check today and know that you'll be taking care of the poor, working with the poor? Is that working directly with the poor? So what does it look like to work directly with the poor? Face to face, volunteer, person to person. He said that Methodist, you know, Wesley said, if you want to be called Methodist, you will engage weekly in direct work with the poor. Weekly. Weekly. Think about that. Both for the sake of the poor and for the sake of the spiritual health of who? Us. You. Me. Methodists, right? He knew that in order for the poor not to be stereotyped, not to be romanticized, not to be marginalized, or not to be demonized, direct personal relationships were required. Some people do good, but only with items they don't need or want anymore. None of us do that, do we? You know, you've heard the story of the old turkey, haven't you? Been in the freezer for a year, and the wife says to the husband, hey, you know, we don't need that turkey. Why don't you see if the church needs it? If they don't want a stale turkey, the church doesn't want a stale turkey either, right? Oh, we're through with this, whatever this. Put a definition to this, whatever this is. We're through with this, honey. Let's call the church and see if the church needs it. Well, if you're through with this, right, and don't need it anymore, probably the church doesn't need it anymore either, right? So you know, we don't do that, do we? We, you know, some people, Wesley said, this is Wesley, some people do good, but only with items they don't need or want anymore. And I'm glad that through, what has it been now? 300 years? We've outgrown that, haven't we? Right? I'm trying to be funny, but seriously, some people believe they're doing good by only giving items that they don't need or want anymore. That goes with money as well. Well, we don't need this $50, honey. Let's put it in the plate this weekend. Right? An alternate model, more in line with Wesley's thinking, is given by... thinking. I do know how to speak English, by the way. More in line with Wesley's thinking is given by the narrator in Mary Lynn Robinson's book, Gilead. Anyone ever read that book? My grandfather... This is the quote. My grandfather never kept anything that was worth giving away. He would take laundry right off the line. Mother said he was worse than a thief or a house fire. She said she could go to any town in the Midwest and see pairs of pants on poor people that she had patched for him. That is what Jesus is talking about. That is what Wesley is talking about. Once again, Jesus' great command to love God and one's neighbor as oneself is the basis for Wesley's instruction. In his famous sermon, The Use of Money, he encourages generosity to others, but he makes it clear, and I want you to hear me, because this is assumed in anything that I say, quite honestly. This is The Use of Money by John Wesley. He makes it clear that if you give so much as to put yourself or your family on welfare, nothing good has been accomplished. A person's first responsibility in doing good is to take care of the needs. Now, you hear that word, four important letters, need, right? Let's not confuse that with the desires of one's family. Rube and Job, I'd love for all y'all to get this. I lived in Miami, Oklahoma for a while, so that's where all y'all comes from. This little book, most of you could read it in an hour. Some of you could read it in 30 minutes. Three Simple Rules, A Wesleyan Way of Living by Bishop Rube and Job. In the book, Job says, taking care of self and living selflessly are not opposites. All right, I want that to sink in for a little bit. Taking care of self and living selflessly are not opposites. Rather, they are each essential elements of a healthy and productive life. To love God with all of life and to love neighbor as self is not to denigrate, deny, or devalue self. Does that make sense to everybody? Job also points out that our desire to do good may sometimes be rejected, ridiculed, or misused. Now, I have to tell you a little story. Whenever Jamie and I were in Miami, Oklahoma, Jamie made it clear the other night that she wasn't a part of the group, but I was a part of the Southern Gospel group. Redeemed, was that their name? I had to ask her what it was, and she wasn't even a part of the group. Imagine that. Redeemed, and we travel around the area, and we do little concerts in parks and stuff like that, and it's fun to sing Southern Gospel. But at one rehearsal, the guy, it was led by a couple, and the man in that couple was talking about how they were having trouble with their bills, and how they, you know, just weren't going to make it this week. And so Jamie and I got this idea. We were going to put some cash in an envelope, and I was going to give it to a workmate of mine, and she would take it down and just let him know that this has been given, and the person didn't want him to know who it was or anything like that. So that happened. Well, a week went by, and we went to rehearsal. And he walked in, and he says, "You would not believe what happened." He said, "I went to work one day, and there was an envelope with cash in it, and it allowed me to get this brand new black leather jacket." Now, I looked at Jamie, and she looked back. Right? Now, it may not be obvious that that bothered me at all, because I learned a great lesson in that. I have to admit, I'm going to confess in front of all y'all and radio and everything, it does still bother me a little bit, right? Because we meant for that to be for buying them groceries or medical bills, whatever it was. That's what we wanted them to use it for, right? And he got a brand new leather jacket, which would have looked really nice on me. I wish, but anyway. but you know what? I learned an important lesson. Once I give that money away, you hear where I'm going with this? It's not my business anymore, is it? And boy, that's a hard pill to swallow, isn't it? But once I gave that money away, I mean, God knows how that money's been used and what they need, right? And we go through that conversation at least once a week in the office, don't we? And we have to remind ourselves, you know what? We're here to serve. Right? We're here to serve. So it's important that you understand, sometimes we'll be rejected. Sometimes we're going to be ridiculed for our help, and sometimes our help will be misused. But it is not limited by the thoughts or actions of others. We do good in response to God and God's goodness to us in Jesus. You know, it's so much like, for instance, I've heard it so many times in my life. Oh, I was sitting in worship, and God told me to write a check and give as much as I could to this evangelist or to this person sitting next to me in the pew or whatever. And it was a miracle, because a week later, $10,000 showed up. You ever heard that story in varying terms? So if I'm walking away from that meeting, what is the purpose of giving? To get something back. And you know what? It's going to be more than getting. Boy, it's going to be pressed down, running over big. That gift coming back, right? But that isn't why we give, is it? I hope not. We give. Why? Because we want to, because of what God has done for us, because of the joy we have, because of our eternal life, that Jesus died for you and for me. Whatever, all those things combined. That's why we give, right? We don't give looking for something to come back to us, do we? Really? I hope not. I hope not. I hope not. Doing good is a part of our spiritual formation, essential for the growth of our spirits, our lives of faith, and our relationship with God. One of the reasons why we at this church, and why I support in a big way to be involved with hands-on mission work, is to positively impact the lives of others. A second reason is to positively impact who? You know what? Anyone who has gone on a VIM trip, volunteers in mission is what that is, anyone who's gone with the youth on a mission trip, anyone who has given someone a meal after they've been in the hospital, right? Whatever. Any kind of mission like that that's hands-on, that's relational, you are not the same. You can ask any person that's gone on one of those trips. You are not the same. God gets in your heart and changes you and scrambles things around a little bit to make you sit up and take notice, right? Because your world, well, he rocks your world when you do service. Positively impacts our lives. Our consumer culture, now listen, our consumer culture is constantly luring us to take care of ourselves first, and of course, buy this book and I'll tell you how to do it. Right? Buy this gadget and, oh, it'll take hours off of your day so you can be out on the lake fishing. Right? No, I'm wishing I was with them. Of course, there is always some product to buy in our culture, right? We believe we take care of ourselves. We believe in that. We believe that if we take care of ourselves, our spirits will grow. Yes, that is true, but that is only part of the truth. Because when we do good for others, that's when our spirit really blooms. Amen? Doing good runs the scale from simple good manners. Hey, how you doing? And meaning it. Toward others on one hand, to a lifetime of dedication. You know, nurses, doctors, missionaries, teachers, preachers, anyone else who serves the public. When you bring food for the hungry, when you visit your sick neighbor, when you give time and energy to hurricane, flood, or earthquake relief, you are doing good. You know, so many times, doing good is simply a part of your personal daily activities. It always gets me with the, in the New Testament when Jesus is telling us the parable of the sheep and the goats. And he tells essentially the same thing to both, just in opposite ways. He says to the sheep, he says, you're going to be blessed because you fed me whenever I was hungry. You gave me something to drink whenever I was thirsty. You gave me clothes when I needed clothes. When I was in prison, by the way, you came and you visited me, right? And you remember what the people said back? You remember what the sheep said back? But Lord, what was it? When did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you something? When was that, Lord? I don't remember. Do you remember? I don't remember. Do you remember that? You know, the amazing thing is, it becomes such a part of who you are that you don't realize you're doing good. Because it's a part of your nature. It becomes so much a part of who you are that you don't even think about it. It just happens. You just do it because you have made those decisions to make it deep-seated a part of who you are. And that's just making it your personal daily activities. You know, to graduate from St. Paul's School of Theology, we have to write a credo. It's a belief statement. All right? That's all well and good, but it has to be 20 pages, right? It has to be double-spaced. There's a certain size of font, which I can't remember. And inch margins. And it goes from everything that you have to speak about, of course, using good English. You have to talk about your theology, your Christology, your pneumatology, all the way to church administration, and make sure it hangs together. Well, I had finished it and had to mail it and have it postmarked by a certain date. And I know this surprises Deanna, but I actually got it done on the date it was due. And of course, I had to have four copies bound in a certain way so it wouldn't confuse the professors, right? And I ran it to the post office, and I turned it in. And I was so excited, I turned around and left, only to realize 15 minutes after the post office had closed that I didn't pay for the postage. Well, I ran back to the post office, and of course, in good post office fashion, the doors were locked, right? And so, now I don't suggest you doing this, so don't get any ideas. But I went around back and banged on the doors. Finally, a worker came, and I was talking a mile a minute, trying to explain that my package absolutely had to be postmarked that day, and I'm so sorry for talking to you guys after hours, and yada, yada, yada. Well, the window clerk that I had handed it to walked up to me, handed me a receipt, said that she had postmarked it and paid for the postage. Was I ever so grateful to her? Folks, we live our Christian faith by overcoming evil, even amnesia, right? By doing good. We live our Christian faith by doing good. John Wesley developed these three simple rules for the daily living of our Christian faith. They may be simple to understand, but they're definitely not simple to live out, are they? May we live them faithfully. Let's say them together one more time. Do no harm. Do good. Stay in love with God. Holy God, we come before you today. We give you thanks and praise for the message that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for those faithful disciples who have gone on before us and kept the faith, Lord. We thank you so much for people like John Wesley and all the Methodists before us that created this concept of living this Christian life with these three simple rules, Lord. May we ingrain them into our beings, Lord, so that we can be anointed with your powerful, powerful Spirit and be able to do no harm, to do good, and to stay in love with you, God, our Lord and our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are able, would you please stand with me and turn to 593 in your hymnals. Let's do the first and the third stanza of Here I Am, Lord. First and third stanza.
Our closing song is the last verse to A New Hallelujah. You can find it on the screen.
Sing it out as we finish up today. For being here to worship together today. A couple of things. United Methodist men, they want your picture before lunch bunch, so hustle on down there after the benediction and get your picture taken. Also, in the bulletin, we noticed today the choir, it says it's at 6. It says it's at 7, and it is at 6. Choir, chancel choir, this Wednesday, 6 o'clock, all right? Hey, folks, first of all, as I always say, know that you are a child of God. You were created for a special purpose, and God has known your name since before you were born. Amen? Amen? Now, as we move forward in our Christian walk, remember, let's say it together. Do no harm. Do good. Stay in love with God. You guys are good. May the love and the joy and the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ remain with you, lift you up, sustain you this week. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Shalom to you. Amen.